Chapter 13, Unfortunate Conclusions. With his mouth shut tight and his feet moving as fast as his thoughts could make them, Milo ran all the way back to the car. There was great excitement when he arrived as Tok raced happily down the road to greet him. The humbug personally accepted all congratulations from the crowd. "Where is the sound?" someone hastily scribbled on the blackboard, and they all waited anxiously for the reply. Milo caught his breath, picked up the chalk, and explained simply, "It's on the tip of my tongue." Several people excitedly threw their hats into the air. Some shouted what would have been a loud hurrah, and the rest pushed the heavy cannon into place. They aimed it directly at the thickest part of the fortress wall and packed it full of gunpowder. Milo stood on tiptoe, leaned over into the cannon's mouth, and parted his lips. The small sound dropped silently to the bottom, and everything was ready. In another moment, the fuse was lit and sputtering. "I hope no one gets hurt," thought Milo, and before he had time to think again, an immense cloud of gray and white smoke leaped from the gun, and, along with it, so softly that it was hardly heard, came the sound of... But... It flew toward the wall for several seconds in a high, lazy arc, and then struck ever so lightly just to the right of the big door. For an instant, there was an ominous stillness, quieter and more silent than ever before, as if even the air was holding its breath. And then, almost immediately, there was a blasting, roaring, thundering smash, followed by a crushing, shattering, bursting crash, as every stone in the fortress came toppling to the ground and the vaults burst open, spilling the sounds of history into the wind. Every sound that had ever been uttered or made, from way back to when there were none, to way up when there were too many, came hurtling out of the debris in a way that sounded as though everyone in the world was laughing, whistling, shouting, crying, singing, whispering, humming, screaming, coughing, and sneezing all at the same time. There were bits of old speeches floating about, as well as recited lessons, gunshots from old wars, babies' cries, auto horns, waterfalls, electric fans, galloping horses, and a great deal of everything else. For a while, there was total and deafening confusion, and then, almost as quickly as they'd come, all the old sounds disappeared over the hill in search of their new freedom, and things were normal again. The people quickly went about their busy, talkative business, and, as the smoke and dust cleared, only Milo, Tok, and the humbug noticed the soundkeeper sitting disconsolately on a pile of rubble. "I'm terribly sorry," said Milo sympathetically as the three of them went to console her.
"But we had to do it," added Tok, sniffing around the ruins. "What a terrible mess," observed the humbug, with his knack for saying exactly the wrong thing.
The soundkeeper looked around with an expression of unrelieved sadness on her unhappy face.
"It will take years to collect all those sounds again," she sobbed, "and even longer to put them back in proper order. But it's all my fault, for you can't improve sound by having only silence. The problem is to use each at the proper time."
As she spoke, the familiar and unmistakable squinch, squanch, squinch, squanch of the Din's heavy footsteps could be heard plodding over the hill, and when he finally appeared, he was dragging an incredibly large sack behind him.
"Can anyone use these sounds?" he puffed, mopping his forehead. "They all came over the hill at once, and none of them are awful enough for me."
The soundkeeper peered into the sack, and there were all the sounds which had burst from the vaults.
"How nice of you to return them," she cried happily. "You and the doctor must come by for an evening of beautiful music when my fortress is repaired."
The thought of it so horrified the Din that he excused himself immediately and dashed off down the road in a great panic. "I hope I haven't offended him," she said with some concern.
"He only likes unpleasant sounds," volunteered Tok.
"Ah, yes," she sighed. "I keep forgetting that many people do. But I suppose they are necessary, for you'd never really know how pleasant one was unless you knew how unpleasant it wasn't."
She paused for a moment, then continued,
If only rhyme and reason were here, I'm sure things would improve.
That's why we're going to rescue them, said Milo proudly.
What a long, hard journey that will be. You'll need some nourishment, she cried, handing Milo a small brown package neatly wrapped and tied with string. Now remember, they're not for eating, but for listening, because you'll often be hungry for sounds as well as food. Hear street noises at night, train whistles a long way off, dry leaves burning, busy department stores, crunching toast, creaking bedsprings, and, of course, all kinds of laughter. There's a little of each, and in far-off lonely places, I think you'll be glad to have them.
I'm sure we will, replied Milo gratefully.
Just take this road to the sea and turn left, she told them. You'll soon be in Digitopolis.
And almost before she had finished, they had said goodbye and left the valley behind them. The shoreline was peaceful and flat, and the calm sea bumped it playfully along the sandy beach. In the distance, a beautiful island covered with palm trees and flowers beckoned invitingly from the sparkling water.